Our first scripture reading is from the second book of Samuel, the seventh chapter. We begin reading at verse 1. And this particular lesson contains the promise to David that someone from his line would reign over Israel forever, a prophecy concerning the Christ. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, your house, and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the book of Romans, the 16th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 25. "Now, to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed. Through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, and we begin reading at verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A text is based on your gospel reading, and in particular, these words of the angel. "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." This is our text. With God, nothing is impossible. But as I think we all know well, there are things that are impossible for us. For instance, a 2-year-old cannot touch a ceiling even if they stand on their tippy toes. I have the privilege of seeing a couple of 2-year-olds on a regular basis now. And while it is impossible for a 2-year-old, even on their tippy toes, to touch the ceiling with Grandpa, what is impossible becomes possible. Yes, there are a lot of things that are impossible for us, but not for God working in us and through us and with us. For instance, it is impossible for virgins to have babies, at least in the human species. Some 2,000 years ago, a virgin did conceive, give birth to a son, who was not only the Son of Man, but also the Son of God Himself. What was impossible became possible with God. It is impossible for women, let's say 98 years old, to have babies. But perhaps in a reference to how old Elizabeth might have been. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly. But when in verse 37 it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God," a somewhat rare Greek word is used there. Adinata. It's found only 2 times in the New Testament. and a few times also in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And interestingly, one of the few places it does occur in the Old Testament is when God went to Sarah. She was 98 years old. And told her she was going to have a baby. She laughed because, you know, 98-year-old women don't have babies. But she did. And the Lord, when she laughed, says, "Is anything too hard?" is the English translation. But in the Greek Old Testament, it's the same word that we find here. The angel Gabriel is speaking to Mary. "For nothing will be impossible. Too hard for God. That which is impossible for us is not too hard for God ever. Though we sometimes tend to forget that." You know, if last Christmas I came to you, or an angel came to you and said what 2020 was going to be like, that there would be times when you'd be virtually locked in your home for weeks, most of the restaurants would be closed down for long periods of time, and when special times like Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas came along, that you couldn't be with your families. I'll bet a lot of you would say something like, "No, that would be too hard." And granted, this last year has been hard. Sunday mornings after services lately, we've been doing Bible studies on depression. The organization Gallup that I think you're all familiar with, they do all that polling. In November, they do a poll of Americans regarding their mental health, which just came out. And you probably would not be surprised at the results. In normal years, when Americans are asked about their mental health, roughly 85%, sometimes a little higher, sometimes a little lower, say that it's either good or excellent. The number this year was the lowest it's ever been, 76. They broke the poll out by all kinds of categories: age, gender, politics, income. All in all, at least in what was published in an article, there were 19 different categories. In 18 of the 19 categories, the average rating of people's mental health dropped by 9.5 points. There was only one category where the people's rating of their mental health went up, and it went up by 4 points. Wow, that's surprising. Who are these people? They were the people which, according to the poll, answered the question, "How many times do you attend religious services?" And their answer was, "Every week." Is anything too hard for the Lord? Even as bad as this 2020 has been, for those who regularly spend time with him, people like you and me. Though it's been hard, there's actually blessings that we've received out of it. And we, or at least a lot of us, have come to realize that. One of the blessings, perhaps simply being, that we know and trust in our Lord better. And realize that even if the world around us seems like it's collapsing, that God still holds us in his hands. He still provides for us. He still gives us hope. And really, nothing is too hard for him. Through him, virgins can conceive. Old, barren women can have children. But more importantly than all this, though death overtake us in this life we live on earth, death has no ultimate grip on us. Because some 2,000 years ago, God himself took on human flesh. Not for his own benefit, but because through that human flesh which he bore, he might take the penalty for sin that we deserve. That the death, the suffering, the pangs of hell itself, as the Son was mystery too deep to fully comprehend, abandoned by God the Father as he hung on the cross. In all this, God was taking away from us that which we deserved and giving to us something that was too hard for us to obtain. How can sinners like us live in heaven without mucking it up? We try to be good every day in countless ways. We fail. Hard as we might work at it, heaven is not something we can obtain. Like a 2-year-old standing on their tippy toes trying to reach the ceiling. It will always be beyond our reach. But what was too hard for us was not too hard for God. Who in his all-surpassing love asked his Son to become like us, to take on this frail human flesh, to live a perfect life in that flesh that we couldn't live because of our sin, to face the death and the hell that we couldn't conquer, and then to rise again and ascend into heaven, that when he comes again in glory, he might take us home to be with him in that glorious life that we couldn't reach. Yeah. For us, there are things that are just too hard. But at this season of Christmas, especially, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we are reminded again that while certainly there are things that are too hard for us, too hard to bear, too hard to conquer, when we ask God into our lives, when we put our faith and trust in Him, that which is too hard for us becomes possible. And for us who trust in Him, not just possible, but guaranteed through the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. For nothing will be impossible with God. Let us rejoice in that. Always believe that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.